so happy you're here listening right now. This is Eternity Church's weekly podcast. You will find our messages encouraging, inspirational, and relative to your life, no matter what stage of the journey you find yourself in. Here's Pastor Jesse.
Hallelujah. Come on, church. Give the Lord a shout of praise. Hallelujah. His presence is an open door. Amen. Amen. And I want God to move in your life today. Give me a wave. Give me a yell. Let me know you. Anyone online want to give? Anyone online want to get something from God today? Hit that love button. Say amen. You know, we've got a lot of people in the rooms, physically distant, socially connected though. Amen, right? But we also have a lot of people joining us online. So, hey, in the room here, let's just say welcome to church to everybody online today. You know, there really is something better about being together, isn't there? You know, Scripture says it. So, of course, it's true, right? Like Scripture tells us that we need to get together, that we need to worship together, that we need to gather together, and that there's something sweet, something special, something supernatural, and even better about that, right? But I tell you what, I am glad that we were able to worship online only when we needed to. I'm glad that we can worship together now because we do need to, amen? And but I tell you what, I want to thank the online campus because for about 8 weeks, they welcomed all of us to join their campus. And they were welcoming, weren't they? And so thank you, all of our online people. I know a lot of people are in the room today. I'm not sure if there's any over there yet, but here's the thing. Some of y'all don't feel like it's wise to get out and about just yet, and some of y'all maybe are in the high risk categories, or you have some other complications in your life that make it not as safe for you to get out and about right now. And I just want you to know, if that's you, whether you're not here because you're high risk or if you're not here because you just don't feel comfortable yet, that welcome to church. We don't judge you. There is therefore now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. And I think as a church, we want to live in that kind of life as well, where we don't condemn, we don't ridicule, we don't mock anybody for feeling how they feel. At Eternity Church, we've always been that church that says, you're an adult, we trust you to make adult decisions for your family and for your life, amen. And so God bless you, we love you, and I look forward to the day that you feel safe and comfortable enough to just step out in faith and come and join us in church soon. But until that day, God bless you. Welcome to church. You're amazing. In fact, if you're new online or in the building, could you please go to myeternity.com/new at some point after the service or even during the service if you can. myeternity.com/new and we'd love to just bless you with a gift in the mail, okay? If you're here at church, after you go to the website, you can just run out and grab a welcome bag on the way out of church too. So no problem at all. That'd be fantastic. So anyway, hey, anyone else glad that we don't have to be homeschool teachers anymore? There's like 5 parents in the room, obviously. Come on. Like, anyone else glad you don't have homeschool kids anymore, right? School finished. Well, I don't know. School finished for me and my kids last week. Is anyone's kid still at school, right? Well, you know, like online school. I tell you what, you know, we always used to mock homeschool kids. Well, I didn't, but some of you did, you know. Mock homeschool kids who act weird, you know, socially awkward, socially distant kids, and you guys, you know, you used to mock them, but now your kids are homeschool kids too. And I'm looking forward to the day in about 9 to 12 weeks where they go back to school and they don't even know how to talk to each other. Hi, friend. You know, like they won't even know what to do there. But I tell you what, I am so glad that is over. You ready for the word? Yeah. All right, I'm going to go to Luke chapter 18, verse 9 to 14, and so it'll be on the screen as well. It's the parable of the Pharisee and the tax collector. It says, to some who were confident in their own righteousness and looked down on everybody else, Jesus told a story. Who's he telling the story to? People who are so confident in their own righteousness. Here's the thing, I'm confident in righteousness, but I'm confident in the righteousness that he has given me. in his righteousness. Amen. I am confident in that. I am bold in that. I have faith in that. But there were some people who were confident in their own righteousness. Now, to be confident in your own righteousness, what this means is they were confident in their own behavior, yeah, and their own ability to attain their own righteousness. To those people who were looking down on everybody else, Jesus told this story. He said, two men went up to the temple to pray. One was a Pharisee, the other was a tax collector. The Pharisee stood by himself and prayed, God, I thank you that I am not like those other people, robbers, evildoers, adulterers, or even this filthy tax collector. I fast twice a week and I give 10% of everything I get. But that tax collector, he stood at a distance. The tax collector stood at a distance. He would not even look up to heaven, but he beat his chest and said, God, have mercy on me, a sinner. And then Jesus said, I tell you that this man, pointing to the tax collector, rather than the other man, went home justified or righteous before God. For all those who exalt themselves will be humbled, but those who humble themselves will be exalted. Come on, reach out your hands if you want to receive from the word today. I want to pray for you right now. Come on, reach out your hands online as well. I know more than half our church is online right now, so God bless you. Reach out your hands if you want to receive from God today. Heavenly Father, I pray that whatever anxieties or fears, stresses, struggles that people might have brought with them into this room or into their room, I just pray a release in the name of Jesus. Holy Spirit, I just pray for a release, just a sweet moment of freedom so they can grow. A moment of freedom so they can hear. A moment of freedom so they can receive this word in Jesus' name. God, whatever achievements, glories, or victories that we've had, I just pray that you help us to leave them at the door as well and just sit in your presence simply as one of your children. Here to grow, here to listen, here to learn, here to be inspired and encouraged by your word. We know this moment will bless each and every one of us. We just commit it to you in the name of Jesus. Somebody say amen. Amen. You may take your seats here, there, and everywhere. Here, there, and everywhere. When I read this, before I preach, I want to remind y'all. When you were watching at home, I'm talking to the people in the room here. I know that y'all are amazing, but when you were watching at home, you might have not have been yelling at the screen as much as you should have been, all right? And so you might be out of the habit of yelling at the preacher. So what I need you to do is you need to yell at the preacher, okay? Because if it's good, you need to be a part of it. You didn't come to church. You didn't join online. You didn't come to watch a performance. Amen. You came to participate and to receive the word of God. Yes? Come on, everybody who came to receive, say amen. Amen. Come on, make sure you yell at me when I'm preaching. Or at least answer me when I ask a question. Can you do that, Bowleys? Awesome, fantastic. You sit at the front row, that's what you get. You get picked on when you sit in the front row. When I read this story about this guy going for a walk to the temple, it reminds me of another story. It reminds me of the story of the Good Samaritan. Do you know the story of the Good Samaritan? For those of you who don't know the story of the Good Samaritan, it's about a guy who gets violently... I said guy. That was so American. It's about a guy... All right, it's about a guy who gets violently mugged and left for dead on the side of the road. This is the story of the Good Samaritan. Then thankfully, he looks up and he sees a priest or he sees some teachers of the law or he sees some other godly type people coming towards him. And that would be good news, right? And so he's like, yes, I see hope. I see somebody's coming. There's some pastors coming. Oh, the church staff are walking toward me. Yes, I'm not going to die here. I'm going to make it, right? But they all walk past him. In fact, they cross the road to avoid him completely. But then a Samaritan man is a man that all those teachers of the laws and so-called pastors and priests, a Samaritan man is a man that they hated. that they thought was dirty and disgusting and unworthy of God's presence, right? And in fact, the man who was beaten on the road dying, he probably also thought the same type of thing about Samaritans. It's amazing where your help can come from, right? Yeah, you open up your heart to help and help will come. Someone say amen.
Amen.
But this Samaritan man came to the guy's aid and helped him and gave him money and food, care, a roof over his head while he healed. Now, I can picture that in the first story that we read, I can picture that Pharisee walking past the man bleeding on the side of the road on his way to the temple. I can picture him, he's on his way to the temple, and he walks past the man bleeding and dying on the side of the road. He didn't want to stop and help the man because the man was too dirty and he didn't want to get dirty, right? Like, maybe he didn't want to stop and help the man because maybe the man had coronavirus and he didn't want to get coronavirus. Maybe the man had leprosy and he didn't want to get leprosy or something else. Maybe he didn't want what that guy had. He didn't want to be associated or infected by the broken man on the side of the road. Maybe he didn't want to stop because maybe the robbers were still there. Maybe he didn't want to draw attention to himself. What if the guy on the side of the road deserved it? I don't want to associate with people like that. After all, I am a man of God. Not to mention, I'm on my way to the temple, and I don't want to be late for my appointment with God. Yeah. Don't want to be late to that, right? Y'all don't want to be late to church, am I right? Yeah. I remember when I was a youth pastor, I asked a family if they could pick up someone on their way to youth for me. And they told me we're already running late, maybe next time. Let me tell you something, church. Be late to church sometimes. I'm going to be the only pastor that's ever said this to you, all right? Be late to church, all right? You can be late to church sometimes. You ain't going to get beat down, knocked down, and miss out on the word of God if you're late to church sometimes. I'm cool with it if it means that you're going to pick someone up and bring them to church with you. Be late to church. I'm cool with it. God's cool with it. In fact, do I have any Spirit-filled believers on this side of the room? Do I have any Spirit-filled believers in the middle of the room? Have I got any online? Good. Have I got any over here? Listen up. If you're a Spirit-filled believer, you're going to be late one day. You're going to be late one day. Come on. If you're a Spirit-filled believer, you are for sure going to be late to church one day. Oh, it's going to happen. Oh, you're going to be late to an appointment. You're going to be late to home from the groceries. Your wife or your husband's going to be like, seriously, for the first time in the history of the flipping world, could you just get the milk and come straight home? And you'll go to the grocery store, and that will be your honest to the Lord plan. But then you'll get someone saved on the way home. You'll come home to this and you'll say, it was the Lord, baby, it was the Lord. You're going to be late. I have found that the Holy Spirit is not a huge respecter of my calendar. Now, and that's annoying because I like to be organized, all right? Like, the Holy Spirit does not really have a whole lot of respect for the appointments in my calendar. In fact, I have found He ain't even a huge respecter of my things. Come on, anybody else? I've found that God, the Holy Spirit, does not have a whole lot of appreciation for the effort I put in to make my calendar work. Or the hard work I did to attain the things that I own in my life. Come on, I know some of y'all are like, this sounds dangerously hedonistic, or I don't even know if I want to be a part of it. Listen. In service to God, I have had my car peed in. Not on like a dog, in. Hey, guy that doesn't know Jesus, I want to help you. First, can I pee in your car? Like, that's happened to me. I have been late to appointments that I was for sure going to be on time to. I have had my clothes get snot on them as I hug people that the Holy Spirit brought into my path when I was on my way somewhere else. But listen up, I wouldn't have it any other way. In fact, I put it to you, if nothing in your life has ever been broken in service to the Lord, or if you've never been late anywhere in service to the Lord, you might not be listening to the Holy Spirit in your life. Amen. Either that or you're like, God, I will listen, but you will do it in my time. And where I want you to do it, God, right? I've found that everything that I submit to God, He blesses, though. My time included. Come on. I have found that everything I choose to allow the Holy Spirit to use, I get more of. Yeah? Come on. See, we got people asking God for more time. Hey, God, I want more time. Because when they're sick, right? And God's like, I've been asking you for the same thing for 55 years. Hey, God's like, I've been asking you for a little more time for 55 years. And now you're asking me for a little more time. Ouch. God's like, hey, remember when you were on your way to church that day and there was that guy who had been mugged, laying down on the side of the road, dying and bleeding? And I said to you, hey, can you give me 2 hours to take care of that man so I could show him that I love you? And you said, no, I don't have the time. Now you want me to heal your cancer and give you 20 more years when you couldn't give me 2 hours? Ouch. Hey, we got to be grateful for grace, amen. Oh, man, I am so grateful for grace. But we better be prepared to use what God gives us to help Him show more people how much He loves them too. Can I get an amen? Amen. Don't be asking God for more time if you're not going to be willing to use that time to serve Him. Don't be asking God for more time if you're not going to be willing to give Him an hour every now and again, or 5 minutes every now and again. Come on.
That's good.
Can you imagine that guy walking up the hill? He finally gets there. He ain't late. He ain't dirty. He ain't tired. And then the Samaritan man walks in a couple of hours later, dirty, bloody, tired from carrying the dirty, bloody guy up the hill. And the Pharisee looks at him in disgust and says, I'm glad I'm not that guy. Glad I'm not that guy. Then a tax collector walks in. Tax collectors are known for being crooks, all right? Listen up. Tax collectors are known. It's not like that guy might be a crook. No, tax collectors are known for being crooks. Everybody knew that. I'm not talking about now. If you work for the IRS, God bless you, love you, right? I'm talking about in Bible times, right? Everybody knew that if you're a tax collector, you're a crook. You are not just taking what they need for the empire. You're taking more to pad your own pockets. They're known as dirty, rotten scoundrels. They're known as scumbags. In fact, it's like they would walk into church. It would be like someone walking into church today with a big sign that says, I am a pimp. Everybody knows that ain't right. I hope, I just want to see if I'm preaching at the right place right now. Do we all know that ain't right?
Yeah.
Someone say that ain't right.
Yeah.
All right. Like everybody knows. Nobody was confused when the tax collector walked in and said, I don't know, he might be right with God. He might be good. He might be doing the right thing. No, everybody knew that ain't right. Because it ain't right. Right? Am I right?
Yeah.
Right. Awesome. And so he walks in. Everybody knows what he's doing ain't right. Even the men who use his services, they know what he's doing ain't right, right? Even the women that work for him or are being abused by him or enslaved to him, they know what he's doing. It ain't right. Am I right?
Right.
They know. That's the tax collector. Everybody knows that what he's doing ain't right. Everybody's looking down on him as he walks into church with his big sign saying, it ain't right. It ain't right. Everybody's looking down on him. But that man walks into church with his head bowed down, kneels before the Lord. And as that guy is kneeling before the Lord with his head down, the Pharisee, who wouldn't even stop to help a broken man, looks down at him and says to God, while I give my 10%, he takes an extra 10%. While I fast and pray, he's pulling a fast one and praying on the poor. While I avoid sinners, he sits with sinners. While I don't work on the Sabbath, he's out committing adultery on the Sabbath. I thank you, God, that I am better than him. I'm better than that dirty Samaritan over there. I'm better than that filthy pimp over there. I'm better than that thieving tax collector over there. And meanwhile, those men, or the tax collector at least, is sitting there with his head down and simply says to God, I am a sinner. I need your grace and your mercy. I need your grace and I need your mercy. I want to read to you from the Message for a second, all right, what Jesus said to them. And if y'all like, that ain't a Bible, I didn't say it was a Bible. It's a message, right? It's like a sermon. It's like a paraphrase. It's an explanation. Are you ready? Good, good. So I don't want any emails. He read the message. I don't even care. I won't reply, all right? Right? This is what Jesus said. Yeah, amen. This is what Jesus said of the two of them. This tax man, not the other, went home made right with God. Now, can I just pause for a second? Because, you know, people are all like, what they start thinking when you hear this story is, oh, rich guy versus poor guy. Can I just say that tax man was probably the richest guy in the story? All right? So before you start being like, can't be rich and love Jesus, hello. Come on, hello. Right? This tax man, not the other guy, went home made right with God. If you walk around with your nose up in the air, you're going to end up flat down on your nose. But if you're content to simply be yourself, you will become more than you are. Hey, if you want to become more than you are right now, you need to be authentic about where you are right now. Hello, if you want to get somewhere else, your GPS has to first locate where you are right now. If you want to get somewhere, you got to be honest about where you are. If you want to be more than you are, you need to be authentic about what you're doing, where you are, and where you've been. God, I'm a sinner and I need you. Listen to me, we got people in churches and out of church who are all trying to save themselves without Jesus. They do it by trying to avoid sin. Yeah. Missed it. I'm so good. Check out my righteousness. And then other people do it by trying to redefine what is and what is not sin. But they're all trying to save themselves without Jesus. These are the people who walk around like they're better than everybody else. You know, we got the people who are trying to avoid sin. They're like, well, missed it. Suckers, you got it. Well, that's pimping. Not a tax collector. Like, and they're looking at the people who get stuck in those things, and they're like, I'm so much better than you. Hey, God. What do you reckon? You want me to be the second coming? I'm up for it. I can do it. Let he who is without sin throw the first stone. Oh, I will. I don't do drugs. I don't mess around with people who do. I don't have any lust in my heart. They walk through life pretending to be something that they are not. They walk through life acting like they've never done anything wrong. They think that if they simply be a good person, or at least look like a good person, that that'll be enough to attain salvation. Let's talk about that, shall we? Y'all want to talk about that for a second? If you're the one who gets to decide what is good enough or what looks good enough to attain salvation, will you or will you not simply make your level of goodness the right amount of goodness to be good enough to have salvation? Won't you? Isn't that what you would do? Right? Well, just this, plus or minus 5%, right? And everybody else ain't good enough. Here's the thing about comparison. It's not only the thief of joy, it is the thief of growth in your life. Because you're always going to be better than somebody else. Or at least I ain't a pimp. At least I don't cheat on my wife. I just want to. At least I don't sell drugs. I just use them. But I got a prescription. I don't need it, but I got a prescription. Right? Come on, you cannot behave your way into salvation. It ain't gonna happen. Hello? You can't behave yourself into heaven. Ain't gonna happen. You cannot be saved without Jesus. Not gonna happen. No one is perfect. Even if you become perfect, you'd start judging everyone else who ain't perfect, and then you wouldn't be perfect anymore. Right? Yeah. 1 John 1:8 says, if we say, I'm a Bible you right now again, just for those of you like, I'm pretty good. No, listen up. If we say, I have no sin, we deceive ourselves. Come on, look at your neighbor and say, you need Jesus. Come on, look at your other neighbor and say, I know you need Jesus. Mm-hmm. Come on, look around the room and be like, y'all need Jesus. Because listen up. If you won't admit that you need Jesus, then you aren't going to experience the fullness of God's amazing grace. Come on, if you can't admit that you need Jesus, you're not going to experience the fullness of His amazing grace. Now, I know some people are like, what happened to the grace preacher from pre-Rona? Where's that guy? He's on his way. He asked me to step in for 10 minutes, all right? He's coming back in just a little minute, all right? He's going to come and tell you how, hey, even if you haven't given God any time for the last 55 years, it's not too late. And you can say, God, I will give you my time. And God will be like, God bless you. Healed in the name of Jesus. Here's more time. And you're going to be like, God, use my time. That guy's coming, all right? But first, listen up. If you can't authentically say, God, this is where I'm at, you're not going to get over there.
That's good.
Ain't going to happen. There's another side to this picture, though, that I want to show you. You want to see the other side of the coin? See, on the other side, you're like, oh, it's the grace. No, it's not. And I'm going to show you the other side of the coin. You ready? Amen. But the grace guy's coming, all right? I promise you, I'm going to land this plane in a gorgeous field, all right? It's going to have flowers. It's going to have pollen. It's going to have bees and things. If you're allergic to bees, you probably won't like the field, but it's going to look good, all right? It's going to be beautiful and pretty and gracious. There's going to be a breeze that blows the Rona away, all right? Like a lot of sunshine and UV light. It's going to be amazing, all right? But first, let's go talk about the other side of the coin. Can we do that? Isaiah 5:20, all right? We got people on one side being like, I didn't sin. I am so good. You suck. I'm so good. But on the other side, Isaiah 5:20. Woe to those who call evil good and good evil, who put darkness for light and call light darkness, who put bitter for sweet and call sweet bitter. See, on one side of the spectrum, we got people who think they're so good that they're going to behave their way into heaven. A whole lot of people would probably call them legalistic, right? You heard that term before? They are legalistic sons of guns that make us feel like turds because we ain't perfect, all right? Right? Like they're good at pretending to be. We ain't been able to pull it off, all right? I tell you what, like in our church, perfect people are allowed to come. Not one has yet. I don't know why. They just haven't come yet, all right? No, not even your wife, all right? They have not come yet. We got those people on one side. Think they're so good. Legalistic people. Judging everybody else. But then on the other side of the coin, we have people who say, hey, what I am doing is not wrong. Scripture says they're the ones that call evil things good. They call dark things light, and they call bitter souls sweet. They call the wrong that they're doing right. I know y'all are like, this isn't great. Grace is coming, all right? Grace is coming. But to get to grace, you got to know where you're at, okay? They call wrong right. Don't leave me. Don't leave me. Listen up. I want to talk about these wrong called right people for a moment. It would be like the tax collector coming into the temple that day. Instead of saying, I'm a sinner, I need you, Jesus. He comes in and says, stealing from people ain't wrong. I don't need your help, but thanks anyway, big guy. Or like the pimp walking in and being like, written women out like property ain't wrong. I'm all good, big fella. I get there on my own. Or the drunkard stumbling into the temple and being like, what I do is all good because I got a history that I don't know how to deal with. I don't need to fix this. We're good, bro. So these people are redefining what is and is not sin based upon what they feel like doing in an effort to not only attain salvation and to have salvation, but to maintain it by denying that what they're doing is even wrong.
Amen.
Hello. Plane's coming down soon. Woosa, relax. Relax, because y'all are in here, because right now y'all are like, I know what I'm doing wrong. Awesome. You're in a good spot then. That's cool. That, if you know what you've been doing is wrong, you don't even need to feel ashamed or anything, because you know where you're at. God can work from there, amen? You know what's amazing, though? Both sides of this coin, right? They freaking hate each other, don't they? Like, you put them in a room, it's fight to the death. Like, it is a bloody mess. The redefiners hate the legalistic ones because the legalistic ones judge them and look down their noses at them for doing what feels good to them. Right? And the legalistic ones can't stand the redefiners because in their eyes, they're dirty, filthy, unworthy people that don't deserve to be in the presence of God. Unreal, isn't it? These people don't even come close to what I assume God is looking for. And the funniest thing about both of them is they're exactly the same. How? They both suffer from the exact same problem. They're all trying so hard to save themselves without ever having to call upon the name of Jesus. That's it. That's it. I don't want to be either of them. The legalistic do it by appearing to be so righteous that they don't need a savior to save them, and the redefiners do it by redefining what is righteous to suit themselves so they don't need a savior to save them. And they hate each other, and they look down on each other. And until the day that they admit they need Jesus, they're going to be stuck right where they are. But there's one group of people they hate more than each other. That's you and me, the grace people. The grace people. That's us. We're the grace people, aren't we? We need to be like the tax collector. That's the right way. Just be authentic and humble about where you are. Isn't it fascinating that the man who is in sin and like, here it is, I'm wearing a sign, I'm a pimp, I'm a tax collector, it ain't right, that's the one who walks away righteous? This isn't saying that we don't need to care about what we do wrong. We do, right? Like, I don't want to keep doing the wrong thing, and I don't want you to keep doing the wrong thing, right? I'm not saying it's all good, do what you want, but just be authentic about where you are in your approach to God. God, I know you don't like what I'm doing. Have mercy on me. That's the story of grace. That's why Jesus came. That's why he came. That's it. The whole gospel right there. You don't have to pretend to be good. You don't have to look like you're good. Paul said that we are saved by grace, not works. We are saved by God's grace, not our behavior, so that none of us can boast in how amazing we are. Look at me. I behaved my way to salvation. I missed the pimpery. I missed the tax collecting. I missed the stealing. I don't have pride. I'm the most humble person on the planet. I'm proud of that, right? I can't boast in that. His amazing grace helps me grow. The fact that I can come to God and honestly be like, I am jacked up. Know that he won't reject me, and know that he will receive me, and know that he accepts me, and know that he forgives me, will give me the strength and the power to move and to become what God has called me to be. His grace will help me overcome, help me have victory, and help me become what he designed me to be. But you won't ever have any victory over something you refuse to admit exists or something we refuse to admit needs fixing. Hey, I'm not saying you need to fix yourself. You don't. And I'm not even going to try and fix you. I'm not into it. I don't even care. Right now, this is not me saying, hey, anyone with this sin or that sin, y'all need to get fixed up. You're disgusting. No, I don't even care. I will hug you no matter how dirty you think you are, because I'm dirty in other ways. We're just going to mix it all up, right? Come on. Like, I don't even care. Maybe you got brown dirt from America. Maybe I got red dirt from Australia. Now we're going to have whatever color that makes dirt on both of us, okay? I'm just saying you need to be authentic in God's presence rather than telling him you never sin. Ask him to show you any sin in your life and ask him to help you overcome it. That's how you grow. That's how you grow in your life. Because you're able to say, God, I'm not telling you what is and is not right in my life, but I'm asking you what is and is not right in my life. And as you reveal it to me, help me take this next step toward becoming the incredible person that you designed me to be, so that I can live in victory, so that I can live in favor, so that I can live in your blessing. God, help me become all that you designed me to be. See, authenticity brings life to all of your relationships, every one of them. Not just your relationship with God, but your relationships with each other, right? It says to confess your sins to one another. Number one, there's an assumption that you're doing something wrong, right? Right? Come on, am I right? Yeah, good, right? There's an assumption that there's something that ain't right in your life, that ain't perfect. Come on, say it ain't right, right? That as you share that with each other, that people in the church won't be like the Pharisee who's like, did you hear about Billy Bob? That they won't be like, oh, yes, I'm so glad I'm not like you, but here's how to become amazing like me. You know, they're not going to be like that. They won't gossip. They won't judge you. Instead, they'll just be a brother or sister in Christ that'll pray with you, encourage you, and love on you and help you overcome. Why? Here's how it happens. You go to God, not me. Don't come to me and say, what do I need to fix in my life? Ain't up to me, and I'll give you the wrong answer at the wrong time, all right? You come to me and say, what do I need to fix in my life? You know what I'm going to tell you? The most obvious thing. You go to God and say, God, what do I need to fix in my life? God's going to be like, boom. And you'll be like, really? Generosity? You want me to deal with that before this whole lust thing? You know what? God will tell. I'm not even saying that's the order. I'm just saying that we get it wrong when we try to fix each other, but God gets it right. And so you go to God and say, God, what do you want me to change, fix, do in my life? And after that, when God shares it with you, then you go tell a friend and you confess that to a brother or sister. And they will help you have healing and victory in that area of your life. Man, that's good. Come on. I'm going to leave you with this powerful truth, all right? The legalistic and the redefiners both want to look righteous, but the humble stand in God's presence and are made righteous. Hello. It's like this. It's like this. You can spend all this time trying to look good to everybody else, or you can be honest in God's presence and he will make you what you wished everybody else saw you as. It's in your authenticity that God will see you the way you wanted everyone else to see you. Amen. So be authentic. Be humble and receive grace in Jesus' name. Would you stand up and give the Lord a shout of praise today? If you're in this place and you don't know Jesus, or if you're in your place and you don't know Jesus, pray a prayer with me. I just spent like 35 minutes talking about the gospel. All right, so I'm just going to roll straight into salvation right now. Here's the thing. I don't want to fix you. I don't even care. If I tried, I'd do it all in the wrong order, all right? I'm going to trust God to speak to you about what needs to change and when. I don't even care if the worst thing in your life is fixed 3 days before you die, all right? And maybe your death will be the thing that releases you from that drama. It's not up to me. It's my job to introduce you to Jesus, who will help you become everything God's called you to be in his timing, okay? So no, I'm not asking you to be perfect. No, I'm not asking you to dress like me or walk like me or talk like me. I'm not asking you to dress like Ian, talk like Ian. I don't even care. What we want you to do right now is to receive salvation by humbly coming to God and saying, God, I don't even know what's wrong, but I know there's some. Have mercy on me. I want to become all that you designed me to be. And I promise you, no one who comes to God like that walks away without beginning an incredible journey of favor and blessing. Everybody who comes to God like that, their life will get better. So I'm going to say a prayer one line at a time, because scripture says, believe in your heart and confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and you will be saved. Again, like I said, it doesn't say that you need to fix your life. It says, believe in your heart, confess with your mouth. So let's do that, okay? So if you're in here and you want Jesus in your life, you want to step into God's plan for your life, receive freedom from your sin, past, present, and future, then I want you to pray this prayer with me right now. And everybody's going to pray it with you so that you're not alone. If you're in a house and there's more than one person in the room, I want you to pray it out loud as well so that that person doesn't feel alone as they pray it. I want everybody, wherever you are, all over this place, in our church, to pray this prayer with me. And especially those who are away from God or those who have never known Him, pray with me now. Give your life to Christ. You're going to step into blessing. It's about 30 seconds away. Let's go. Everybody repeat, dear God, I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. He died on a cross for my sin, and He rose again to give me life, hope, joy, peace, and eternal life. I receive it all. I receive your forgiveness, and I receive this new life with you as my Lord and my Savior. And I ask you to help me live this life the way you designed it. Help me turn away from the wrong in my life and to embrace all the good things that you have planned for me. I give you my life. I'm going to live for you in the name of Jesus. Amen. Amen. Come on, give the Lord a shout of praise. If you prayed that prayer, there's two things I want you to do. One of them is I want you to tell us who you are. You can do that by going to myeternity.com/Jesus, or you can text the word SAVE to the number 25827. Either way, if you do that, you're going to receive a gift in the mail, and we just want to bless you and encourage you and give you some tools that are going to help you live the blessed life that God has called you to, okay? There'll be a Bible, there'll be a worship CD or a gift card, and there'll also be a gift card to one of my favorite local coffee shops here in Central Iowa, and so we'd love to bless you with that. The second thing is, in a moment, I'm going to ask you to lift up your hand, okay? I'm going to have everyone close their eyes, and I'm going to count to three, and then I want you to lift up your hand. Here's why. Two things. I'm going to pray for you if you lift up your hand. I want to pray for those people. But the main reason is I want you to take that step of faith. Everyone's eyes will be closed. It's between you, me, and God. But I want you to take that very small first step of faith, lifting up your hand and saying, I want this new life. Okay? I want this life. So if everyone in here could close their eyes and bow their heads. Last night, 8 people gave their lives to Christ in our service, and however many online as well. And so I'm thrilled and excited about how many online and in this room today are going to give their lives to Christ. I'm going to count to three. If you prayed that prayer, take one more step of faith. Lift up your hand, and I'm going to pray for you that God will come and show Himself to be good to you. So on the count of three, with every eye closed, 1, 2, 3. Lift up your hands right now. I see 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. I see 6 hands. You can put your hands down. Yeah, give the Lord a shout of praise. Hallelujah. Come on. 6 hands here, and I don't know how many hands online. Come on, let's pray for those people. Heavenly Father, we pray for the 6 in this room and all those in the other rooms that lifted up their hand and took that step of faith and said, I want to receive the goodness of God in my life. I want to receive salvation. God, I pray in the name of Jesus that the shame and the pain of their past mistakes, regret would be broken off their lives. God, I pray if anyone has shame from things that other people did to them or around them that they didn't ask for, God, I just pray for a release of that shame. It would be gone in Jesus' name. And in its place would come hope, joy, peace. God, I pray that from this moment, they'll be able to walk out of this room knowing that what I do doesn't matter. It's who I am that matters. And I am saved, set free, and I am a child of God. He is my God. He is my spiritual father. And I am going to live the life that he designed for me. I declare it in the name of Jesus over every one of them. Amen. Amen. Come on, give the Lord a shout of praise.
Thanks for joining us. If you enjoyed this, share it with your friends or neighbors. This coming weekend or next, we'd love to see you at church. You'll find locations and service times at myeternity.com/locations. We're also on Facebook and Instagram at My Eternity Church. Have an awesome day. Love you heaps.